Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Warriors of the Most High God, establishers of His kingdom, servants to the anointing, ambassadors, and carriers of the mysteries of God. What an honor and what a blessing. We are in a tremendous transition, and in this transition right now, there's a tremendous battle. Tremendous. It's a battle for souls. It's a battle for righteousness. And it's a battle to expose. It's time to change. God is bringing boldness. He's bringing boldness to those who are fearful. He's bringing strength to those who are weak. And He's bringing favor to those who are in position. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me, please. Revelation chapter 12. I have a sense that we'll be in and out of this chapter for a little bit because God tells us things to come. He prepares us. In verse 7, when war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Again, he deceives the whole world. Remember that the weapon of deception is more destructive than nuclear bombs. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." This is representation of, in other words, that he has a short time. This short time to him is 3.5 years. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The woman is twofold. Israel. Amen. And those who are offsprings of the believers of Jesus Christ. They're known as the bride of Christ. The serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. I believe this is a representation of a military army that will begin to attack Israel, and God will cause an earthquake. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, this has been continuous. This is not just something that just recently happened, but we're finding some of these events begin to occur. In other words, there's a preparation for what's getting ready to happen. And that's something that I think that we need to discuss, because there's something that you and I must maintain. And it is called godliness. We are in a time where end time godliness is essential. Essential. If you'll turn to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. We know that the ruler of this earth is Satan and his kingdom, and he deceives all mankind. Again, his weapon is deception. And it says in verse 23, "In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness." In other words, evil. Remember, there's the area of transgression. Sin is the presence of evil. The act of the presence of evil is called transgression. And transgression brings a curse called iniquity. It says, "When the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features who understands sinister schemes." Sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. In other words, he shall be pompous, prideful. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. In other words, he will come against the following of Christ Jesus, even though he may proclaim to be a Christian. But he shall be broken without human means. In other words, man won't destroy him, God will. And the vision of the evenings and the mornings which was told is true, therefore seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. In other words, when God does something, he always prepares us, he warns us. There's always a rehearsal. There's always rehearsals. Is everybody with me? Like the seven feasts of the Lord were celebrated for many, many generations, and then until Jesus came to fulfill them. So they were rehearsing the whole time. There's a rehearsal right now that man is not seeing. There's a rehearsal right now that many believers are not seeing, and it's right in front of our eyes. They're just not seeing this rehearsal of pompous, of prosperity under his rule. This will be the first 3.5 years of tribulation. But there is a rehearsal right now. Because the first 3.5 years of tribulation will be false prosperity. There'll be things that will be occurring. There'll be the taking away of people, the finances and so forth, and abilities to feed themselves so that there's dependence. Transgressors will reach a fullness. Evil men and imposters, they will prosper. Begin to destroy the economy. Is that happening now? And they'll begin to, I want to say, it says destroy the holy people, but in it, it means put them down so they don't have a voice. He wants to put the holy people, the righteous people, under their control. This is the character and nature of our current administration. Is everybody with me? This is the character and nature of our current administration of the United States and the global world order, which is a rehearsal and leading and preparation to the next events that's getting ready to happen. And Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, 72 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. In other words, fulfillment. To anoint the most holy. Put the King of Glory in position. Now therefore, and know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Let me start from 25 again. Let's speak it again. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, he will die on the cross, but he's not being cut off because of himself. He's allowing this to happen for mankind. The people of the prince, which is the prince of darkness, who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it shall be with a what? Flood. Didn't we just read it in Revelation? Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Understand, the Antichrist, the prince of darkness, will confirm a covenant for 1 week, which is 7 years. This covenant is known as the 7-year tribulation. So what will happen is something is going to occur in the Middle East so that somebody will have to step up and bring a covenant of peace. Most likely, Israel will attack Iran, war will break out, and an individual will come forth who will promote a covenant for 7 years. That person will be the Antichrist. Now, I want you to know that Iran could be attacked within the next 2 to 3 months. Does everybody understand this? On the feast of Yom Kippur, was that it? And the Iranian, in the UN, the Iranian president or prime minister, whoever he is, he's an idiot, but anyway, stood up and spoke and said that every Jew ought to be killed. And Israel needs to be destroyed and America. So unfortunately, our president stuck his head in the dirt. But anyways, because he's a weak, pompous idiot. And his service is not for the kingdom of God, but for the kingdom of darkness. And this is reality. This is a rehearsal of what is happening. Our country has been infiltrated by darkness in a mighty, mighty way. Their purpose is to bring down this economy, bring down this country, disarm us, and bring in one world order for their purpose. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now, it says, verse 27, speak it with me. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. But in the middle of the week, in other words, after 3.5 years, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. In other words, he will break covenant. When that happens, Satan himself will put on flesh and take the position of the Antichrist. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So again, 7-year treaty will come because of war. There'll be war in the Middle East. This war in the Middle East will be triggered because the Middle East is now being taken over. Egypt, which is right next to Israel, is now being controlled by the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood. They hate Israel. Iran hates Israel. Libya hates Israel. Lebanon hates Israel. Turkey hates Israel. Everybody over there hates Israel. What you're seeing right now is the Antichrist military, the moon worshipers, that's why they carry the crescent, are in position to attack Israel. We are seeing this unfold before our eyes. Is everybody okay? Go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Joel, J-O-E-L. But thank God we don't have to fear. We just have to expose. This is a prophecy that Joel spoke, starting at verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, all the Jews are being restored now back to Israel. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is known as the Valley of Decision. And I will enter into judgment with them. Read it with me. on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the what? Had the Jews been scattered? Yes. They have also what? Divided up my land. I want you to know that this administration is trying to get more of Israel divided. So everybody got it? They are wanting to go back to the 1967 before that and how the land was divided. This administration is trying to divide the land of Israel. And the Lord says here, I'm going to bring you into judgment because you've scattered my people and you've divided my land. Verse 3, they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy as a payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, says the Lord, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried it into your temples, my prized possession. Also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them up out of a place to which you sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. So we know that wickedness is going to excel even greater. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will also roar from Zion, which is in Jerusalem. It is known as the city of David in Jerusalem. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people. The strength of the children of Israel. For you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains will drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and water the valley of Acacia. Egypt shall be a what? In other words, Egypt will be destroyed. Edom, a desolate wilderness. Because of the violence against the people of Judah. Because of the violence against the people of Judah. In other words, those who attack Israel will be destroyed. For they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. I will acquit them of all the guilt of bloodshed whom I have not acquitted. For the Lord dwells in Zion. These days are close. But we're in rehearsal of them. Is everybody with me? They're close. They're an arm reach away. They're very, very close. And Matthew 25, end time godliness. Matthew 25, in verse 31. This message is to the body of Christ and to America. Let's speak this together. Verse 31, When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the what? Left. Now, I want you to understand, this is something very, very symbolic and prophetic. He calls two things very important. He calls the sheep, which are the obedient, the right. He calls the goats that are rebellious, the left. Hello. Let's go a little further. Verse 34. Then a king shall say to those on his right. Is everybody there? Okay, let's speak 34 again. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now listen, this is not only physical, this is spiritual. Spiritual food, spiritual drink, spiritual dress. In other words, telling the truth. Then the righteous, he calls them the righteous. The right are associated with the righteous. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, and as much as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Again, he talks about the left and the right. One has a form of godliness, one is godly. One proclaims and does an outward, but the other one does, has an inward. See, the only way to maintain godliness, okay, the only way to maintain godliness is to have intimacy. See, people say, well, anybody can say they love someone, but there's a difference of being in love with someone. You can love something, but you know, you can love things, but you're not in love with things. I hope not. But there's a difference. Because intimacy is an area where if you are in love, you take time. It's the same thing with the Lord. See, these are people who are proclaiming to know God, but they have no intimacy. Because they have no intimacy, they don't know the depths of truth. They only know him by what they read of him, but never know him personally. Because there's not intimacy. Intimacy says you take time with him because you're in love with him. Not because you love him, but you're in love with him. That's different. So there'll be those who are in love with him, and there'll be those who claim to love him. The ones who are in love with him take time with him and have intimacy. There is a difference. So if you're taking time with someone in intimacy, especially with Christ, his character will start to express through you. Amen? Again, you won't just love him. You'll be in love with him. And because you'll be in love with him, you will know truth. You will know what pleases him and displeases him. Not because you read something, but because you're in fellowship with him. If you love him, his character will be expressed through you. Today, the left in this country, because I'm speaking about not only the kingdom of God, but in this country, which is vitally important, there's an area where it says that many have a form of godliness but deny the power, and we'll go to that scripture in a second. But today, the left is a political organization. No longer are they considered parties. They're considered organizations. The left is a political organization that has aligned itself with darkness and partnered itself with evil. It is the Democratic Party, and I'm not ashamed or afraid to express it because of what they support and what they hold on to. It is an organization now. It maintains a platform of same-sex marriage, denying the need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. They finance murder of innocent, unborn children. They are persecutors of Christians and Jews. Their support to other nations extends globally that condemn Christians and Jews. If you are a Christian and you are a partner of the left organization and a Democratic Party, you are shaking hands with death, and you can expect the wrath of God. It's real simple. Amen? For your hands are dripping with innocent blood, in which you'll be accounted for before God Almighty, and you will be judged. Everyone will be judged for what he approves by God. Why is this happening? Because there is no intimacy. They don't know him. They may know about him, but they're not in love with him. They may express that they love God. I love God. I love God. I hear people say that all the time. I love God, but they're not in love. Because when you're in love, we don't do the things that offend him. We do the things that please him. Amen? What's happening right now is that area that the difference that's going to be exposed right now is the form of godliness and the end time godliness. That's what's being exposed right now. Again, this is not about a political thing. This is about an organizational thing. One that supports Satan's kingdom and one that supports the kingdom of God. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, it was amazing to me so many times when I would see the Christian logo on a car and it says Obama and whatever his other dude's name is. It just blew me away. Why don't they see this? And I kept saying, why don't they see this, Lord? I don't understand. He said, no intimacy. Because if they were in love with me, they would know. But they proclaim to love me, but they're not in love with me. They love me because I can provide for them. But when I don't provide for them, they walk from me. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. They're denying his power. In other words, this power is what gives us the ability and the authority to manifest the divine nature. And that power is only released to you by intimacy. So they're denying the power. They have a form of godliness. Oh, I love Jesus. But they're not in love with him. Because if they're in love with him, they deny themselves. They live for him. Not for their political agenda. Not for their families. I don't live for nobody but him. And you should be the same way. We don't live for each other. We die for each other. We live for him. Amen? And if you live for him, you're willing to die for him. Having a form of godliness. And what? Turn away. For this are those who creep into households through TV, radio, and so forth. And make captives of gullible men and women because they do not see or hear the truth because they have no intimacy. Oh, I believe Jesus. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm going home. Let me tell you something. If you are voting for, associating with, or involved in an activity that brings blood on your hands, you are not going home. You're not going home. Unless you repent and turn from it and get out of there. It says, for these sort creep into households, ministries, and they're led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they've never fallen in love with him. They're too prideful. They only allow love to go so far. The riches of the world, the desire of life, and everything else prevents them from going deeper. Now as Jannes and Jaspers resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. It's amazing to me where I see these reverends get on TV and they're involved in the Democratic Party. Or I want to say organization, and proclaim to be men of God, and they call them reverends right on TV. I'm going to throw up. They are not reverent at all. They are disrespectful, liars, and two-faced. They know not my Father nor my Lord. They proclaim godliness, but they approve of wickedness. That is not my dad. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, and their lives also. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly, true godly, the end time godliness. They will be what? They'll be what? They will suffer what? Persecution. You will be persecuted by believers that have a form of godliness. Does everybody understand that? Because they're bound by the spirit of religion. And you know, behind the spirit of religion is murder. It was proven when they killed Jesus. And verse 12. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because the transgressions of man and wickedness will grow worse. We're getting that level more and more and more. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In 1 Peter chapter 1, have a form of godliness, but deny the power. First Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry. Is everybody there? In verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine what? Power has given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and what? Godliness. See, there's a difference, isn't there? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins or old ways. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and elect sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For as an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful. His divine power given to us to maintain end time godliness. And this is established by intimacy. Intimacy. Because it's not that you love him, it's that you're in love with him. And when you are in love with him, there is time taken, and in this, his character is expressed. He reveals revelation knowledge. He reveals truth to you. His spirit guides you to all truth and tells you things to come. That's why I am blown away by so many churches. I've driven by churches that have Obama stickers on their cars, loaded. I'm like, what's the problem? Religion. Because behind the spirit of religion is murder. These people are deceived and blind. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And that is established through intimacy. Is everybody okay? And we see this in our government. We see it. The Democratic Party is an organization. They serve darkness. And this is reality, and this is truth. Unfortunately, you see these politicians, and now they're running for presidents and so forth, and all of these things that are going on, and you can tell the difference. And if you can't tell, you're in trouble. They are liars, two-faced puppets, and pawns for Satan's kingdom. And they are out to bring down America and take your freedom. 1 Timothy chapter 6. End time godliness will not be afraid of the gospel. They will maintain an integrity. They won't sway. They won't be bribed. They're not out for self-promotion. They don't have to prove they're God. he can prove himself. They will walk in love, peace, joy, in righteousness, and in power. They don't call themselves Christians and hang out in bars. They don't call themselves clean when I watch pornography. They don't call themselves righteousness and steal. They are honest. They would rather die than do anything wrong. Not that we won't make a mistake. Amen. They're not takers, they're givers. And they trust, rest, and wait on the Lord in everything they do. An integrity that is upheld in godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, I think. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome what? Words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud. Knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. This is what I see in the Democratic Party. These reverends that call themselves Revy, they take a form of godliness as a gain to promote their political view and to collect finances for their own pocket. They are liars and two-faced, and their hands are full of blood because they promote same-sex marriage and abortion. I've heard this over and over. I have seen preachers on TV that have admitted that it's not right, but they're going to still vote for him. How stupid can you be and still breathe? We are to withdraw ourselves from these individuals, and I encourage anyone involved in that organization to withdraw themselves from there. Again, it's not about a party. It's about organizations that promote light and organizations that promote darkness and evil. Amen? In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. For this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's no gray area. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So, those of you that proclaim to know Jesus Christ and promote same-sex marriage and abortion and are associated with any organization in it, you are a liar and you have made yourself a covenant with death. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, that's why he says, come out from among them and be separate. Amen? That's all they need to do is come out, repent, and do the right thing. And Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse 18. Let's speak it together. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You think truth is being suppressed in certain areas? Amen. The left is suppressing the truth. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. There's no excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not what? Glorify him as God. You know that the left denounces God. But of course, when it comes to a vote, oh yeah, God, yeah, yeah, God. You can't even speak the name of Jesus then. In their rally, they denied God. They denied God. Come on! Any Christian associated with an organization that denies God doesn't know God at all. They should run from that. If they can't tell that fruit, you're going to die right with them. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things and symbols and logos and agendas. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the nature used for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the nature of use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Listen, this organization promotes same-sex marriage. They promote homosexuality. They promote lesbian. They promote perversion. They promote it. It is their platform. It is called the Democratic Party. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now look at the next thing. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the Democratic Party. We are seeing it unfold before our eyes. This is not things that happened in the past. This is happening right now. This is an organization that is evil. It's ruled by evil. And anyone involved in it will be judged as evil. Amen? In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 1. Now I want you to grab hold of this. There was a judge that was a Democrat and he became Republican. But it's not about party. Please understand that. Amen? And in Pennsylvania, this judge will not approve. He will not approve that you need to have an ID to vote. He held it off to after the election. So why would a judge say, no, you can, you don't need an ID to vote. Why would a judge do that? If you're an American, you would certainly want an American vote. A judge would only do that because he has an evil agenda. Has everybody got it? Again, it's not about party. A judge would only do that if he had an evil agenda to say, no, you don't need to have an ID to vote. This just happened. Oh, but we'll do it in the beginning of the first of the year, which is after the elections. Because they'll do everything they can, because they are liars and cheaters. They'll do everything they can to get their man in office, to bring down this country, to promote one world order. Amen? They're trying to get their man in place so that evil can infiltrate and control us under the UN, United Nations. Do you realize that we give billions of dollars to United Nations? We give billions of dollars to Egypt and all of these other organizations that are against us. And none of that has been ceased. I think we'd be in a lot better shape if we stopped giving them money to destroy us. Hallelujah. This country has come to a place where it's no longer we the people, it's we the government. Your freedom is being taken away day by day, creeped in more, more, and more. And until America stands up and speaks, and believers stand up and speak with boldness, and begin to speak out and make the right choice, things won't change. It's in our hands to change things. Amen? The time is now. It's not tomorrow, it's now. It's today. The time is now. There's enough information and evidence on the internet that you can send to your people, your friends and your families. It's time. Things are around the corner. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, speak it with me. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a what? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And he who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just like he walked. Make the choices like he chose. Would Jesus choose abortion? Would Jesus choose same-sex marriage? Then why should we? Why should someone who proclaims to be a Christian do that? They are not Christians then. They are not. And if there are not Christians, they're shaking their hands with death and judgment. This organization has funded other organizations that are murdering Christians and Jews globally. These things are happening, but people are not seeing it. This is why we must get it out. Again, the time is now. We need to stand up and fight. We need to stand up and speak, and we need to stand up and make the right choice. Amen? Praise God. Father, thank you for your word. I ask for a favor on each and every one here. And Lord, that this word that goes out, I pray, Lord, that this will each reach the ends of the United States, in every household, in every congregation, in every pastor's home, in every Revy's home. I pray that repentance and conviction will turn their hearts towards you, and they will separate themselves from the organizations of evilness, darkness, and deception and come into the light and the truth and make the right choice in Jesus' name. Anybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah.